part of adulting that people don't tell you is that you need to learn how to take care of your basic needs. Take it slow. Take it 1 week at a time. You know, plan your meals 1 week. Plan one meal. Mm. You know, like 5 days a week. Decide what you want to eat for dinner 5 days a week. Go buy those ingredients and then slowly cook your meals. Mm. So that's what I've been doing really, just like learning how to take care of my basic needs as an adult and making sure I'm like strong. My foundations are strong, you know. I don't need to like be super successful right now. What I need to be successful in is learning how to care for myself well. It's like, okay, I just put together stuff that I've been doing for like the past couple of years, and I realized like, shit, I'm a copywriter. Mm. You know, without realizing it, just volunteering for the art scene and doing what I could do, which is write, I realized I was a copywriter. And then I got the job, and it's, yeah, that's kind of like the story, right. La. Like, that's how I went from being a zoology student to a copywriter.
Hello, hello, Kopi ke Milo podcast. And today we have Serene Davies Nazari. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
And
thank
enjoy you. Your self-made coffee.
It's cheers first. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, how would you describe yourself though, Serene? And do you like spaghetti? Is that a cliche question?
Upfront. That's a cliche question, but I do love spaghetti. Uh-huh. Like, it's the first, spaghetti bolognese was the first thing I learned how to cook. And I made it a ton, which is hence the Instagram name.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I came up with it, I think, when I was 12.
Right.
And
cool.
It just stuck. But
yeah, it has like a ring to it though.
Yeah, it rhymes.
How does it feel like to be you? I would say your personality is colorful though.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, for some weird reason, right? Like, you have this aura that gives out that you are not from KL.
I'd say, like, as a kid in primary school, I was really weird.
Okay, weird is good.
Yeah, weird is good, but weird is not good when you're bullied for it. So
right,
I think
right.
In Sha'alam, I was just like...
Oh, Sha'alam is hard.
Yeah, Sha'alam's hard, and... I came from like a single mom. Like, my mom's a single mom, like divorced parents, and during that time, you too. Yeah, so during that time, like in Sha'alam, I think like mixed kid, you know, broken home, and just like I was just kind of like eccentric as a kid, so I was kind of bullied for it. Really, just like outcasted. And my friends would really describe me as somebody who's friendly and somebody who can make friends with anybody. Is because as a kid, I didn't have any friends, and I knew how that felt. And so, as an adult, I'm like every day I try to make a new friend. You know, I think as like a little kid, I was very talkative and just very chatty, and I've always had like a really like vibrant imagination.
Mm-hmm. When is your birthday, by the way?
I am born January 12th, 1996.
You're a Capricorn.
I'm a Capricorn.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a Capricorn. But
are you a workaholic?
I have my moments when I'm really into something, I cannot stop. But when I'm not into it, it's hard to even start, you know?
Resistance.
Yeah, how about you?
My birthday, man. 9th December. So I'm a Sagittarius.
You're a Sagittarius. Mm-hmm. How old are you, by the way?
26.
I was studying in zoology and I was bored. Even though I loved animals, zoology is very... It's very different to love animals and to study animals. They're very completely different things. So I quickly realized that, like, I was bored. And so I was in Kuching at the time, and I made friends with people in the creative scene in Kuching. So like visual artists, musicians, you know. And we started to organize events together, like music events, gigs and stuff like that. And I was handling the Instagram profile. It was called Timber Kuching. And I was handling the Instagram profile, and I would like write all the captions, and I was just writing a lot, and then I was working part-time at, like, this furniture store in Kuching, and I was also handling their Instagram, and I was, writing their captions, and so this job, what I did was, it was an open position at Belinda's company, a company that Belinda works at as a mid-level copywriter. Mm-hmm. And
right now, you mean?
Yeah, right now. Okay. And they were like, hey, apply lah, you know? but you need a portfolio. And so I was like, okay, I just put together stuff that I've been doing for like the past couple of years. And I realized like, shit, I'm a copywriter. Mm. You know, without realizing it, just volunteering for the art scene and doing what I could do, which is write. I realized I was a copywriter. And then I got the job, and it's, mm-hmm. yeah, that's kind of like the story, right. la. Like, that's how I went from being a zoology student to a copywriter. Right. I'm also like a part-time model, mm-hmm. Which I do on the weekends.
On the weekends?
Yeah.
So literally every weekend?
Not every weekend. If I'm lucky, you know,
you mean like when you have, your free time is a weekend, so you do that on the weekend.
Okay, yeah, okay. So like, brands would DM me and whatever, and then I would plan shoots on the weekend. Yeah, that's cool. What happened.
And I don't know, because I saw online on your profile, somehow you're always attached with snack food.
Oh, yeah.
So snack food is a different ballgame.
Snack food was kind of like the job I got. I took a break from uni for a little while, like a year break. And I came back to KL. I was wandering around Bangsa, mm-hmm. and I found snack food. Just I was just like, oh, what's here? This door looks cool. Mm-hmm. And I'd never heard of snack food before that. I was just walking around Bangsa, saw like a really nice yellow door. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's cool. Let's go up. I went upstairs and I just instantly fell in love with the space. And I made friends with Diane. Mm.
So Diane is Kuching Miso, right?
Yeah.
So
she's a great illustrator. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful person, mm-hmm. and a very talented person.
Ampang
as well.
Also. Agomba.
No, sorry. She Kajang.
Oh,
maybe?
Really?
Yeah, okay, she's from Kajang, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but so I applied for the job at Snack Food. I got it, mm. and I stayed there. I worked there for about a year as well, on and off. It was fun. Like Snack Food was really fun. It was hard work, you know. A lot of people don't imagine snack food as hard work, but you have a lot of responsibilities, right. and
I think I know Bay is from there, and also back in the day, Trisha there?
Trisha, yeah, she worked there as well. She's not there anymore, but right. she was like one of the first staff. First Ooh. Teen snack food, yeah.
yeah.
I call Bay and Trisha and whoever used to work at snack food, like Diane and I, we invented like our snack food sisters and brothers.
So they both left snack food, huh?
Yeah, okay. They both like worked for a little while. I think snack food is great for young adults, mm-hmm. especially in the creative field. So you learn about branding and stuff like that. Even if you're not even trying to learn, you learn about branding because Ad is so good at that. Adeline, who owns Snack Food. The founder of Snack
right,
Food.
Right, because like one of them is the owner of the Wheel Love.
Wheel Love is her husband, Yang.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're doing a lot of things, right? And how do you keep yourself balanced and not lose track of your purpose?
Just chill.
And
I
look
do
at
that.
The forest. Yeah.
Do some gardening, like that's what I do. Like I
you just, like gardening, huh?
I love gardening. Well, that's I'm not great at it,
but you're trying.
I love seeing plants in my house. It's nice, yeah, you know. Plants make everything better.
My mom is it's a whole need every day to do gardening. If not, she will not be happy, you know.
You know, it's really like mentally when you take care of something else, and plants are really easy to take care of, they just need sunlight, soil and water. When you have to take care of something else and you see it grow, you kind of take care of yourself inside as well. And yeah, that's why I like gardening.
Do you travel a lot? Like or at least
I wish
pre-pandemic?
I did. I don't. I don't have the financial you know, benefits of traveling.
I guess the follow-up question is, what is the most memorable place that you've been to that inspired you in a way?
I think like I would just say Kuching. It wasn't like a traveling cool. thing, it was a university thing, but I think Kuching was very like, that's where I, you know, early 20s is your formative years, is where you kind of like you're moving from teenagehood into adulthood, the early like 20 to 25, yeah. you're still adjusting. So I was in Kuching lah, and I think that really opened my mind a lot. And as a Malaysian as well, like when you, because you know we don't really learn about Sabah and Sarawak in school, and all the tribes and the language or the culture, we learn like very little. So I met people from like all types of different cultural backgrounds. I think that really made an impact on me, and also just learning to be an adult in a different state, like away from your parents, you know, like oversea, like one sea, like yeah, just over one sea. Like being there as a young adult, like all by myself, I think that place gave me like the greatest impact. How about you? Are you a traveler?
I have been for the past 2 years ish. I was away for a bit in the UK, Europe, and Turkey mostly.
Oh, nice.
That was fun. And the pandemic overseas and the COVID paranoia wasn't really as intense as Malaysia. So that means they're pretty chill about it. And they move on pretty fast, maximum 3 months, 4 months after the initial hit, 2020. It's like, even before the vaccine, they're pretty relaxed. But this is not America. This is like Europe and Turkey, you know, UK. Yeah, so I was traveling there before.
I would love to travel. I think maybe when things open up again, and I have like a full-time job now, so I'll set aside some money. I think I'm a traveler at heart.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely like some, I definitely want to travel. How about you? Kopi ke Milo?
It's kopi.
Kopi, yeah? So you must really know your coffee then.
Kind of, yeah. But I'm not that anal about it, you know? Like, I understand it, and I understand not everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So I'm open to like letting you into the coffee world, but I wouldn't stop you from putting sugar in your coffee.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not one of those
You don't
guys.
Judge. Yeah. You don't judge.
And coffee is wide, you know? Like it can be kopi o from the uncle from like some
kopitiam,
you know? Or it can be some bougie cafe in Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, with filtered coffee or something.
Yeah.
So both are good, and yeah. That coffee. But what was your question? Coffee, right?
I know you do music and you do your podcast, which I'm like really curious why you decided to start your podcast and what made you like reach out to me for your podcast.
I realized how underrated you were.
Oh, wow.
You know? Like you have that compliment. Vibe. Also, the fact that your personality are colorful, I feel. And I was right, you know? That's what I guess the intuition. I'm guessing something needs to be heard from you.
Oh, thanks. That's so kind of you.
How do you feel life in KL is right now? What's your current state of mind?
Well, my current state of mind, like at the moment, I recently turned 26 and I told myself to slow down. Like, I think in your early 20s, I talk like I'm so old, but I'm just 26 padahal kan. But
I mean we feel that at times.
Yeah, I think, you know, in your 20s you like want to go out, you want to meet people, you want to party, you want to work, you know, you have all this like pressure of like, what am I going to be, what am I going to do, you know, and you're just kind of like going and going and searching. But now I just want to slow down and I just want to stay home and garden and spend time with my friends. You know, I'm gonna go spend time with my nephews. My brother has two sons now. I take my role as an auntie very seriously.
Right, is there the two of you in the family?
No, there's like nine of us.
Wow, nine of us.
Yeah, I'm the fifth out of nine.
Middle child syndrome?
No. I was the youngest. Because my dad had five. With my mom, and then four with my stepmom.
So you're the fifth.
The fifth.
You're the last of that side.
Yeah, okay. I'm the youngest child from the first marriage. So I don't have middle child syndrome. I'm more like the baby who turned into the kaka, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, so I am very family oriented. I really love my siblings, and I love like whatever babies they pop out. And I really... Yeah, so I'm taking things slow now. KL is usually fast-paced. And I think with the pandemic and people are trying to build back their businesses, so things are like fast, but also, you know, you suddenly like cases will go up and then, you know, things lag and things are a bit clunky for a bit. So internally for me, I just told myself like, I'm just going to slow down. Take one day at a time, go to work, you know, do my responsibilities, come back, cook. So I'm like, I'm putting an emphasis on like cooking dinner for myself every night or as many nights as I can instead of like ordering out, because I was ordering food almost every day, right? But when you slow down and you cook, you have to cut your vegetables, you have to plan your meals, you know? It's really just...
You enjoy that, huh?
I enjoy that. I think it's like part of adulting that people don't tell you is that you need to learn how to take care of your basic need. Take it slow, take it 1 week at a time, you know, plan your meals 1 week, plan one meal, you know, like 5 days a week. Decide what you want to eat for dinner 5 days a week. Go buy those ingredients and then slowly cook your meals. Mm. So that's what I've been doing, really, just like learning how to take care of my basic needs as an adult and making sure I'm like strong. My foundations are strong, you know. I don't need to like be super successful right now. What I need to be successful in is learning how to care for myself well. So
yeah, success, that's where I'm at. Success is subjective anyway.
Yeah, it's so subjective.
It depends on how you gauge it, right? Like if you look at financially, I guess it can. You can, I mean, if you gauge it that way, then someone who is financially successful are not happy inside. It can be both ways, but. Yeah, it's up to you. You choose what success is to you.
Exactly, right? So for me, success, what success means to me right now is that I am taking care of myself well every day. Yeah. Like I don't burn out. Because usually what will happen with me is I'll be okay for like 11 months in the year. And then like 1 month I'll be like, I'll be so burnt out. I'll be like, I just need like... 2-3 weeks to just like chill the fuck out myself. Like if I do the caring for myself every day, you know, like the self-care every day instead of aftercare when I'm burnt out, then you know, like I'll just be a more well-rounded person, basically. So that's my goal for like 2022, is just like caring, being my own parent and learning how to parent myself. And that means like making sure I eat well and I eat healthy and I sleep, you know, 8 hours. I don't try to like push myself and only sleep 6 hours, you know, and like be more productive. I'm like done with that. I just wanna chill out and care and be my own parent.
Self-love, I guess.
Self-love.
And what was the one thing that you feel like you overcame? It doesn't have to be from the pandemic. It can be like throughout your life, one of the most challenging difficulties that you actually went through?
I think like financial, like financial instability, like, you know, my mom's a single mom. So there were times when we were growing up where like she has trouble paying the electricity bills or like food. You know, we were five kids and she really had to like stretch any amount of money she had to feed all of us, you know. So growing up, I really, as a young kid, I already knew like, oh, we don't have enough money. And that's not really like, I don't recommend any kid to go through that when, you know, you shouldn't have those worries about money as a kid. But I was already aware like, okay, we don't have money, we need to save, you know. So as an adult, I'm really trying to build that financial stability for myself, make sure I have like money saved up, like an emergency fund, and putting money away every month, even if it's a little bit. But taking care of my future self, you know, taking care of my present self, making sure that financially I'm stable, I'm safe, I have a roof over my head. Yeah, that's, to me, is like the most, like the biggest achievement. And it's still ongoing, you know. And money goes up and goes down, and you know, but it's still ongoing. But that's kind of like the promise that I made to myself, which is that as a little kid, I worried so much about money, and as an adult, I still worry about money. But like, I want to keep myself safe. Yeah. Right. How about you?
Challenge. I guess my story is a little bit, maybe not so unique, but kind of different than every other Malay boy that's born in Subang. A little bit specific. Like, yeah, because I went to Chinese primary school.
Interesting.
So that was alright, that was fun. But the transition from that to high school, there was a bit of a racism going on towards me. Because I was from Chinese school. So I had a difficult time transitioning to be accepted by the Malays in high school in Subang.
Oh, I totally totally get that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So that was that phase, self-acceptance, because I was pretty confused. I mean, no one talks about it at home, and I don't have that father figure who's there for me.
Yeah.
Kind of to tell, to explain why this is going on. So I had to figure it out myself. I wasn't even comfortable in sharing up till after high school, you know, the fact that...
Like talking about talking your feelings.
About the fact that it bothered me.
Oh, okay,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, they used to diss me because I'm not part of the crew. You know,
yeah.
I'm not part. They can't play football with me because I play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
So I was really
kids can be so mean sometimes.
And they're
right?
Like just 13, 14, but they're so mean.
Yeah.
You know, looking back like 10 years later, I'm like, what? That don't matter, man. You know,
yeah.
I wish someone was there like for me. I just punch them or something. You know?
To stand up for you.
Yeah, but yeah. That was one of the most identity. I guess that formed me. You know, I'm more malleable. I'm more flexible. I don't feel like I belong in Malaysia because I don't have that tight.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have that force. Whereas other people, I'm not speaking for everyone, but they feel like home when they're in Malaysia. When they go elsewhere, they kind of feel like they're outsider.
Yeah.
Like I always felt like I'm an outsider.
Yeah, I don't feel,
you know?
I don't feel like, no offense to Malaysia, but I don't feel that, like, exactly like how you feel. I don't feel like Malaysia's my home.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like there's a world out there.
Exactly.
And the world is my home.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah.
So wherever I go, I feel like I can always build relationships and make friends easily because I've always had to do it.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I wasn't like, I don't know, silver platter. I wasn't given a silver platter. Is that a saying?
Yeah, I think so. Silver spoon.
Silver spoon. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to fight my way through it. I guess that's what I overcame, and it's easy for me to fit in per se.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
It's probably why I like your podcast. You know, you interview so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they have, you know, they're well known or not, and just like random people you meet while you're traveling as well, right?
Yeah.
And you're pretty good at your podcast.
Yeah.
Like,
thanks.
You stop me when I'm like rambling on.
It's a blessing to have this podcast. You know, it's not so. It has different purposes in the beginning and throughout, but now it's like, man, it's a blessing to talk to people.
Yeah,
it's a blessing to talk to strangers that can be your friends.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
Everyone has exciting life. They just don't get the coverage. Just
yeah,
because,
that's so true.
You know, they don't get to a certain level of like fame or whatever.
Yeah.
The people who get the coverage are famous people only. That sucks.
Yeah.
You
and
know?
Like, yeah, everybody has a story to tell. Your podcast is a great way of like making new friends and learning more about them. In that you know, asking questions that you wouldn't ask in a casual conversation,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What made you even start it in the first place? I know you're a musician and you probably had like recording gear and and like, yeah, but what made you like really like, okay, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna like look for people and I'm gonna sit down with them?
Funnily enough, I was working in a cafe in Ampang at that time, 2018, and then I was like listening to podcasts a lot. And I'm really curious on the beginning phase. I was really curious at how all these people stay passionate about what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that this was pre-pandemic, way before, and they are in their 30s, some of them, and they're still doing what they do, you know, even though it looks like it doesn't really pay off, but they just keep on showing up. You know, that inspires me in a way.
Episode after episode after episode, right?
So people... I mean, humans are interesting. I don't know. I love humans. I know that there can be some negative ones, but it's a perspective shift. Like, I'm kind of immune to negative people. I'm kind of like, I have this, like, I don't know, they just don't get to me. It's like, it becomes a joke to a point like, oh, okay, you know, now that's funny. Negative, you know?
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
So, it almost like, positive people attracts me. So, I have this... I can filter out people, you know. I mean, obviously, there's yin and yang, you know.
Yeah.
We all have that negative side to us, but there can be some people who they're mean existence. It's like to complain.
Yeah.
Life sucks, everything about
Malaysia. Or to criticize,
yeah,
you know.
Judgmental.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's why I started a podcast.
Yeah.
I like to talk to people who I feel inspiring.
Like, I think it's very commendable to like start something and also carry it out. Like, you know, podcast episode after episode, like to keep on doing it. Just obviously, for fun.
Yeah, yeah, but obviously there are a downtime, you know?
Yeah.
Like what you mentioned just now, you have like 11 months of hype and then 1 month you just want to chill the fuck up.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously
I just want to sleep
that.
10 hours or 12 hours
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone feels that. And I guess that's what Malaysians lack of. Malaysia as in geographically, because we don't have four seasons.
We don't, yeah.
So we are not allowed to be depressed, you know? Like we just have the sun, you know? We are like push to be okay all the time.
Yeah, somebody told me as well, like, that because of our weather, where it's just like, you know, summer, 12 months, that you kind of don't, you know, you don't have those, like,
hibernation.
Yeah, and you don't have that firm change in your environment to kind of, like, yeah, like, changes. Mm-hmm. You know, you're constantly just, it's either sunny or it's rainy, right? Mm-hmm. And so what they did was like they every time, like, you know, their husband is from the US, and so every time it was a new season or a new moon, they would like sit down and they would like, okay, what is my goal for like this next season, this next 4 months? Whereas in Malaysia, 12 months are just like, it's just meshed together. And so yeah, you're right, like we're not allowed to be depressed. We're kind of just trying to survive and trying to stay sane in this constantly sunny part of the world.
Yeah. I guess if you know how to allocate depression time, that would help.
Like plan it out.
Yeah,
in
like,
your,
yeah, I want to be depressed.
In July.
Let me be world, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's subjective, and also life happens sometimes, you know? Do you plan to have kids someday?
Yeah. Well, everybody seems to ask me that question. For me, it's like, do I give off motherly vibes? Like, do people...
Yeah, I guess so. Like, you have that nurture vibe.
Nurturing vibe. That's very nice. I'll take that as a compliment.
It is, definitely is.
I think about it a lot as well, because I love kids. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm still learning to take care of myself. So, and I am committed to that, to taking care of myself, because you can't take care of somebody else if you can't take care of yourself, especially if it's a child, you know, it's a baby that, you know, and like, you know what, being a human being is hard. Like being a human being is really hard, you know, like you like fall down and you get bullied. Oh my God, you and I both got bullied and all that, you know, and I don't know what's going to happen with like the climate crisis, and I don't want a child of mine to like
suffer.
You know, suffer from the climate crisis. So I have a lot of like reservations to having kids, but I don't cancel it out, you know, because I love kids. But like I said, I take my role as an auntie really seriously, and I really believe that raising a child takes a village. And so I want to be part of that village for my nephews. Yeah, I want to be the village for
raising
my nephews.
A child
and
takes
my
a village, huh?
Yeah, that's what they say, right? Because it does. I mean, like, when I watch my sibling, like my brother and his wife take care of their kids, like, it's so much work, you know? Like, and they need help, you know? And I will gladly be that help. And I will, you know, I want to be like the really cool, supportive aunt for my
nice
nephews. Because I didn't really have that, you know? So
I mean, as long as you have the connection, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, they can be like, let's say they live elsewhere and you haven't seen each other in a while, and then you will have that distant.
Yeah.
You know, they develop that characteristic without you, so they feel like you are distant. You know, it can be that way.
Exactly,
as well.
Like that. I think because that's how I grew up. Like my mom, her siblings are far away. Mm. You know, like my mom is British. Mm. She stayed in Malaysia because her kids are Malaysian. Mm. Right, and she has her own business. She has her kindergarten, which she's had even before I was born.
Wow.
She's had her kindergarten, so I think she's like pretty settled here. She likes it here. I think she says that winter, the cold makes her depressed.
Yeah.
She said as a kid she was depressed a lot because of the cold, and so I think she fits in to the sunny,
especially the UK.
Well, especially the UK.
The UK
is
pretty depressing when it gets cold.
Yeah, and she was a mixed kid. Like my grandma's Indian and my grandfather's British, so she was a mixed kid.
When so your dad is
my dad's Malay from so Terengganu.
Wow, you are pretty mixed.
Yeah, I'm pretty mixed. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
Cool blood.
Yeah, but for my mom, what I was saying was she was a mixed kid in a time where it was really racist, you know, and so people were very racist towards her. It was cold, so she didn't have a great childhood, and so she found like sunny Malaysia, and she was like, "All right, I'm staying here," you know. And like sini kan, like we have white privilege, right? And she's kind of white looking, so she gets that white privilege. So it's like totally different from how she was treated as a child, where people like
she's the queen here.
She's the queen. She's not gonna go. Yeah. Right. So my aunties on my dad's side were in Terengganu. My aunties on my mom's side was in the UK. So I don't, and I didn't grow up with aunties, like basically I didn't have a really an aunt or like uncles, you know. So I wanna give my nephews the things that I didn't have as a kid. And if that's, I can't do that financially at the moment, but like emotionally.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, and I guess that's love what I those little rugrats, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Though. Yeah, man, there's always room for improvement, you know, like in terms of how you take care of kids.
Yeah.
Like the amount of love that they can get. Because like I don't get the uncle and auntie treatment at all. I'm like, wow, now I feel like missing out.
Yeah, you know? we totally missed out, man. Like whenever I would see my aunties or uncles during like occasions, raya ke, or maybe they would visit, you know, I would love that. You know, it's so fun. So my mom and I, like we pernah say like, it's so funny that I'm talking a lot about my mom because like we're not that close at the moment. But we said like we want to give, when my sister-in-law was pregnant with my first nephew, like, you know, want to give this next generation the things that we didn't get, you know. Or like my mom was saying, I want to give them things I couldn't give you or my kids. And so, yeah, I think like that's the emphasis at the moment with my family. Like we really want to take care of this next generation that's coming and give them all the love and support, because they've got like, you know, being a human being is hard, especially with like, you don't, we don't know what's going to happen in the future, like especially with climate. Like I'm very concerned with like the climate, because you know, the banjir that happened recently that like displaced so many people and like ruined so many homes and property and things like that. Like that's terrifying for me when I think about it. Like those problems are only gonna get worse. And when my nephew's in his 20s, God knows what the state of the world is gonna be like. So while he's growing up, while he's a baby, like I am going to protect the shit out of him, you know. I'm going to support the shit out of him and love the shit out of him, and
You know, if you could have a cup of coffee with anyone from the past, who would it be and what kind of conversation will you have with them?
I think I would probably want to have a cup of coffee with my late grandmother, my mom's mom. Yeah, because I don't remember her. She passed away when I was like a baby. I don't remember her. And yeah, I would just like to chill. She was pretty cool. She was a smoker, you know.
Like, she's in the UK. She's British?
Singaporean. She was Singaporean. Wow. So she met my grandfather in Singapore and they moved to the UK. Well, he brought her to the UK and had kids with her. She had a really tough upbringing and she had a lot of challenges. But like the stories I hear about her, like she sounds so fun, so funny, so witty. And like I would love to like chill with her. Yeah.
What is the best piece of advice you've ever received throughout your lifetime?
Oh God. I think from my dad, he would always remind us that beauty is fleeting.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he was very aware that his daughters were like these half white girls. And
you guys all look the same?
Kinda. Yeah, we all have like curly hair and big eyes. But he was very like aware that he had like, you know, these white kids and people were like, oh my God, your children are so beautiful, you know. So he used to always tell us like beauty is fleeting. It's not the number one thing that people should remember you by, you know. Pay attention to your studies, be a smart person, be educated and be well-rounded. And I think that really like kept me grounded as a person, you know. Like I really don't, you know, pay so much attention to my looks, I want to be remembered as somebody who's kind and friendly and not somebody who is beautiful. Yeah, and I know, like, one day when I'm like 50, 60, 70, I won't look like this anymore. And I think he wanted to make sure that when his girls get older, they're not so upset that they don't look the way they look when they were 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's the best kind of advice. It's a double-edged sword because, like, it gave me low self-confidence for a long time.
Yeah,
I was just like, actually not low self-confidence, I was just scared of like of men looking at me, you know, like, and so I would just like try to wear really baggy clothes, mm-hmm. and really try to, oh, I don't care about makeup, you know, because I didn't want to look so attractive that I would attract the wrong attention. Yeah, so it made me like that in my teens for a bit, where I like really like dressed really slaky and I didn't care about how I looked. But I felt bad, you know. It's not like when you don't care about how you look, but you're like great inside. And I felt bad inside. I felt like, you know. So it was a double-edged sword, but at the same time, I think it was a blessing because I really did learn to become a well-rounded person. I learned to become funny, you know, not to kind of depend on my look so much. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you? What's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten?
There's a lot of advice that I've received throughout my life. It's one from one of the guests on the podcast. That advice was, he's from Anas Hamdan. He's a music producer as well. Do you know Aizat Hamdan?
Oh yeah, his brother.
His brother, yeah.
I've met them before.
You met them?
Briefly. Ooh.
Right. So what he said was, bulldoze, the theory of bulldozing. Whatever you're trying to do, the obstacles that you have in life, no matter how high the wall is, you just hit the wall. Mm. You don't have to think about how to get through it, just hit it. Mm. There's another obstacle, just hit it. Another obstacle, just hit it.
Yeah.
And that one stuck with me. The essence, I already have it in me, but you just need someone to tell you.
To remind you, right? Yeah, yeah. That's really true, because I think in Malaysia, people are scared to start things. Mm-hmm. Like, me included, like, I have all these dreams of like, oh, I want to do videos on animals, or I want to do it. Tapi I takut. Yeah, and I think
also one more advice that stuck with me was from Will Smith.
Oh,
have you heard? I mean, obviously I've never met Will Smith.
Yeah, but, I was gonna say, yeah. Like, was he a guest in your podcast?
It's the he was saying that it is not about building a wall. Yet again, it's a wall, right?
Yeah,
it's about building the brick as perfectly as a brick can be laid. One at a time. So if you want to make the video that you want to make, obviously start with downloading the video editing software, and then start editing a 14 seconds video.
Yeah,
and
brick by
and
brick.
Then, yeah, brick by brick. And then one day you'll see the wall.
Ah.
So don't be intimidated or have the anxiety thinking of the bigger picture. Just think of it as what it is.
One brick at a time.
Like you said, you're a freelance, you're a copywriter.
Yeah.
So you say you're a copywriter, and then you start writing, and then you become a copywriter.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you'll write a book, and then after that, you'll be a best-selling author.
Oh my god.
And then after that, you'll be like J.K. Rowling.
Are you telling me my future right now?
So if you straight away you think you want to be J.K. Rowling, the anxiety, the pressure that you feel. Whereas if you think, you say you label yourself as a copywriter first, and then a novel writer, and then, you know, you go up the rank brick by brick.
Yeah,
that's one of the
Atomic Habit. He talks about like that 1% over the span of like every day. Mm-hmm. If you do something, what the something good, that's like 1%, you know. Mm-hmm. Like for example, you wanna be a yogi and you do one yoga pose every day, but that adds up after like, for if you do 1% for 360 days, it's 360%.
360 yogi poses.
360 yogi poses. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one actually. Thanks for telling me that brick one. I think I'll remember it.
Yeah, before we end the podcast,
we're ending already.
2-3 more questions.
Okay. Cool. I'm having fun.
If this was the moment, right? This is going deep so fast, right? We are already deep, but we are going deeper. If you could give an advice to your unborn child who's listening to this probably 20 years from now, who's like lost in her teenage years.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Right? And what would you say to them? The fact that they found this piece of gem online, like googling your name, and then, oh my god,
mom was on a podcast.
Yeah, she was 26. What? And then she's listening to this advice. What would you say to her?
Oh my gosh. I think I felt lost so many times, like in my life, like not even in my 20s, like in my teens, you know, where you're just kind of like, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? You know, like, and it's just really scary. But I just would say, don't. My boss Adeline said this. My ex boss said this to me. Like, she's like, Serin, your problem is you always think so far. You think until retirement. You know, because I get really like, oh, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? Like, where am I gonna stay? How am I gonna pay for myself? You know, I get really like boggled down with all these really hard questions, and I just say like, you know what? As long as you're breathing, like in and out, you know, as long as you're breathing, you're okay. You know, like just chill the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Everything will be okay. Yeah. You know, like, you always have someone in your team. Even if you feel alone, there's one person who cares for you and like, and wants you to be happy. Call that person. You know, like, there's never a time where you have zero friends and zero luck. Like, I don't know, I would just say like, things will be okay. They don't feel that way right now, but things will be okay. And all you need to do is just breathe through it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What is your definition of success? I know we sort of talked about it earlier.
Mm.
But what is your definition of success?
My definition of success is like being very stable within myself. Like, just emotionally stable. Because I really struggled with like a lot of mental illnesses. And for me, like, success is being happy and being okay, like feeling okay from day to day. And just, I mean, it's okay not to be okay, but like for me, it's like really important that I am healthy mentally and physically, mm-hmm. emotionally, spiritually, like,
everything,
you know,
everything.
Yeah. So to me, like, if I'm like, I want to be that well-rounded person. So that is my definition of success, becoming that like very strong within myself. You know, yeah. How about you? What's your definition of success? Like winning an Oscar.
Definition of success. I guess to be contented with whatever I have around me. It can be family members, it can be the worldly achievements, it can be spiritually what I feel inside, my connection with the creator, it can be the universe or it can be God, depending on how you look at it. Yeah. It's how you feel, you know, when you're by yourself in the room, like, without anyone. Because I feel you don't need a person to be happy, but you can be happy together, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, success is when I'm happy with myself.
Yeah, totally. That's kind of like how I feel as well.
Yeah.
I don't need to have like $1 million saved away. Yeah. I'm happy with myself.
Yeah. Because life is perspective game. You know, if you can shift your perspective, you can be happy. But the thing is, we are bombarded with all these negative people that we are constantly have to maneuver.
Yeah.
You know, try to like the matrix, the matrix the fuck out of them, you know? And yeah. And yeah, I guess that's my definition of success. It can change maybe in 2 years' time. I don't know. We'll see.
But I really relate to that. Just like being happy with yourself, no matter what you do, no matter what your job is, no matter how much money you have, the things you have, you're happy with who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. I think a lot of people don't really realize that they're not happy with who they are inside.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes them a very negative person. Yeah.
Yeah, if they're happy inside, that things outside will flourish and show itself, and they don't have to like,
yeah,
everyone's fault, but they forgot to look inside, you know.
Yeah, positivity spreads, and I think that's kind of you as well. You put out like positive vibes to get back positive vibes. Mm-hmm. You like
karma,
karma,
law of attraction,
yes, exactly.
Life,
yeah. Also just perspective. I think when you're like in a very negative headspace, everything looks negative. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, you can't see the silver lining in anything, you know. And then when you're a positive, you have like a positive, you have positive vibes, positive outlook. You can make anything work, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. By the way, you're such a nice person.
Thank you.
I feel like I've known you in another life or something.
Wow, thanks.
And I just want to thank you for being part of the podcast. Usually there's a section where I flip the script, but you have asked me a ton of questions like in advance. Thanks for that. And Lastly, I just want to ask you, how do you want to remember us as a, when everything is said and done, you know, as a human being, as a daughter, as a, as
aunt,
a, as a person? Yeah, how do you want all of them to remember you as?
I want to be remembered as somebody who is kind. Yeah, and just, I think that's just basically it. I don't want to overcomplicate it. I just want to be remembered as somebody who's kind.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hello, hello, kopi ke Milo?
Hello, hello, kopi ke Milo?
Yeah.
Nak kopi and nak Milo.
Wow. You know that Billy likes Milo so much?
Really?
You know that?
She loves coffee, she loves Milo.
Yeah. She's obsessed. Oh. She should be the ambassador already. Thanks, though. That was good.
Thank you for having me.
I enjoy nice. Both.
How about you? Kopi ke Milo?
It's kopi.
Kopi, yeah?
Kopi ke Milo podcast. Milo Fico, so yeah.